No, last is any boy for me.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Ah! Ever?
No.
Yeah, okay.
It's already damp.
Sinner.
That's kind of weird.
Sinner.
Your house is moving again. We are in the chicken leg house.
Oh, pass me that Red Bull, please.
Welcome back to the wild wonderlands of weeb shit. I am your host, Jacob. With me in one corner, we have the returning champion. You may know him by his superhero name, The Motor Mouth, with his stylish purple costume featuring giant gauntlets and knee-high boots. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back Spencer. And in this corner, back from the hellish hiatus, it is the Colin Man, the Crimson Condom, ladies and gentlemen. It's Colin!
I totally forgot about the Crimson. Okay, because so, I realized that you're making references to the superhero drawing I did, and then the superhero drawing of me with the invisible mask and bullshit is nowhere near what I actually am. I am the Crimson Condom. I totally forgot about that. We need a redraw of that. That is a goal for this year, a redraw of that.
The Crimson Condom actually happened off air. It was Colin just put a jetpack plastic bag over his head until he couldn't breathe anymore, and then ripped a hole in the mouth. It was like, I'm the Crimson Condom!
Dude, that was great. That was a good time.
Gentlemen, you know the rules. We're here for a clean fight, so while we discuss weeb shit, do not be surprised by the random interjections in mock Japanese cat girl voices. Please keep the goo contained until after the show. Thank you, and good luck.
Mai mai sundayo, bokara kimuchi.
Why by a comic that might cost more than a dime? Come meet the brothers who are here to waste your time.
So Hulk from 2003.
Oh yeah, that first.
Yes. Hulk from 2003.
Stars Eric Bana and Jennifer Connelly.
What?
And Sam Elliott.
That was the most high pitch I've ever heard you.
That was like a weird dog bark. I'm not sure what that was.
He didn't even pinch for it.
I know. So when we first were watching it, I wanted to say that, like, the lighting actually looks really good on him, but I forgot that it's the same thing. When you have CG characters, you always want to put them in dark places because it's the easiest to make them look realistic. Once we got to the desert, it was a little much, but I think that was what they were going for, was, like, bright green because of comics, but...
Yeah. I agree.
I remember this movie really bugging me because of the forced, like, comic panel... in the editing of the videos, but it kind of worked for me this time around.
I would say it's a bit much, but I think some of the transitions were done really well.
Yeah. I never finished this movie as a kid.
Really?
Yeah, because it was just a movie that was on when I was at my... So, for context, my dad's side of the family, whenever we went to my grandparents, they always had a movie playing in the background, and one time that was one of the movies, and I was enamored, but like everyone else was talking over like how it always is. Movies were just a background thing. So this is like my first time actually watching it all the way through.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I like the use of like shadows and darkness and like keeping the Hulk in the dark. It was for budgetary reasons and like hiding really crappy CG and whatever, but it makes him spoopy and I like it.
I agree.
I like when the Hulk looks like a spoopy big man, even though his proportions are of a short man.
Big baby.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think that the facial model holds up really well. I was kind of impressed. I haven't watched this in like 10, 15 years probably, but it I don't know. It looks like Eric Bana and it's pretty expressive.
Also, the lips aren't all fucky. Like, the lips were surprisingly like on track, but also he didn't talk a lot.
True. Colin doesn't like fucky lips.
No, because lips are always the hardest to like actually CG because of like how they move. When they animate lips, they add more muscles than there actually is. Like, there's more lips move more normally in CG than they should. It's just we have the micro, in reality, we have, like, the micro expressions. So lips seem like they do more, but they actually don't, unless if we, like, purposefully move them around and do shit.
Can you say around one more time?
Around.
Cool.
Thank you.
I like how many dick jokes there are in this movie. Not gonna lie. There's like four.
Yeah.
Is that from us memeing the movie? No, in the movie?
They're in the movie. Mm. They shoot him in the dick. He crushes his balls. Weird. The dog bites his dick. Like, And then he
Dude, there was a dog that looked just like Spencer in this
movie. Shut up!
It's a pit bull, like a hulked out pit bull.
Dude, and Rachel it's recently Spencer. Described me as a pit bull, and I don't like
this. Because you are!
I'm not black, what are you talking about?
Pit bulls aren't black.
No, it's just what racist people like to compare them to.
Really?
Yes.
I thought that's monkeys.
No, that too. No, if you hear people talking about, like, why pit bulls are more inherently violent, they're talking about black people.
Really?
Yes.
Why did I never pick up on that?
Because, I don't know, Dougie.
Because I'm not racist.
I usually don't like Sam Elliott because he's typecast, but he does a really good General Ross in this.
He is indeed the guy.
I liked him in Parks and Rec, and also he was a hot cowboy in The Family Guy.
Gay?
Mm-hmm. Well, the Superman's a gay pipeline is something that we should study. And you are a huge product of that.
You can put me under a microscope and blast me with the gamma jizz.
I think
see your dick anyways.
So the same way that like Bruce's dad did weird testing on his son and his own jizz is what your parents did to you to make you gay.
I can believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to blame my parents for that problem.
Honestly, Jennifer Connelly and Liv Tyler are very comparable Betty's.
They are. Yeah. I actually think she has more to do in this movie. Like
she does have relevant. More to do because in the 2008 movie. Which one's this? Is this 2003?
Three.
Okay, because I know this came before, but I just don't know what year it was. So the 2008 movie, she does seem more of like a damsel and just like a MacGuffin, I guess.
Yeah.
In this one, she's a scientist and she loves to remind you of that fact.
That is true.
Yeah, but it's okay because she's hot.
Also true.
They both are.
Yes, but like she doesn't like. So this one knows she's hot. The other one doesn't. Mm. 2008 doesn't know she's hot.
Intriguing.
Okay. Is part of the has sex but doesn't know what sex is.
Yeah, yeah.
Square.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like Kowalski from Penguins of Madagascar.
Yeah.
Say he something knows what... smart, Kowalski.
Penis and piss is stored in the balls.
That's true.
Spencer, do you have any thoughts?
I'm actually trying to formulate stuff, but it feels like from my somewhat limited like understanding and reading of Hulk comics, it kind of feels like a lot of this was fairly ahead of what was going on at the time, I think. Not like the ideas were original, but the like the primary drama of it is like repressed memories and like childhood abuse and stuff, which has always been a part of the character, but like it's come back really full swing recently, so
right with like the DID and bullshit like that.
Yeah, now that it's a lot more explicitly stated and like mapped out, literally sometimes. Like I haven't read a lot of Hulk comics from the early 2000s, but like I feel like this was kind of in that sense like more on top of the ball of what people end up connecting with from the character rather than just he's big and punches things. Because, like, this is a big baby.
Right.
He's a mad big baby.
Yes.
But he's also a big baby.
I like when his father makes fun of him for having a little hissy fit. Also, another thing.
That dad's just
one of my favorite scene of this entire movie has to be the absorption man when he's finally, like, actually absorbing the gamma radiation powers of the Hulk in that, like, underwater, also frozen, weird thing. It looks like space almost, and it gives me some weird. I like it. I ever since I was introduced to the idea of the Immortal Hulk comics, which from you guys, I haven't read yet because it's on my list. But the idea of like Hulk being connected to like Cthulhu monster, outer space, but also like internet dimensional weird bullshit makes the most sense for Hulk. It just seems more intriguing than just big, angry man.
To be fair, things. I don't remember if the door was a thing, but you know, in that sense, this movie was ahead of time because there is a door in this movie, and it's a spooky door. So, you know, that's a point. I don't know. The pacing is a little all over the place. That it kind of, it's a bit long in general. It's like 2:15, which is
like a very long 2-hour movie.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely seems to be some scenes that do drag out longer than they should. And I'm, of course, the type of person that's not against pacing, like long pacing at all, because that's like my thing.
No,
but like, you have to, there like, are definitely scenes that like we're sitting with them for too long.
Yeah, you have to have the substance to back it up in that sense.
Right.
I do like the using the Marvel Comics font. Like, the comic panels might have been a little bit much, but I like the transition frames being with the font.
I don't like the font because that's Stan Lee's handwriting.
Gay!
Spencer was dealing with repressed childhood memories when the evil demon dogs were attacking.
That is also true. The dogs are great. Yes, in fact, I held
both. Were you scared of them because it reminds you of yourself?
No, I was like five, and I really liked the Hulk at the time, and I was like, these dogs scare the... Yeah, because I was a big angry baby.
I was a big angry baby too, but I like Batman because he's just a small angry baby.
I didn't like Batman yet. I was five.
I was five, and I love Batman.
PP.
I liked that Batman.
No, because one, the CG is a little rough, and even when I was... Even I would have been like... This would have at least been a few years after release, and I think this even got like a little bit of a rough like reception on terms of the effects at the time.
Yep.
It was weird and like uncanny valley, and also it's spoopy and they're like angry, but then he puts his fist through a dog multiple times.
Also, he punches the dog's dick.
Yes, he punches the dog's dick, and then he pushes his arm in it, and then he just like rips one in half, which I did not remember being so violent. I don't know. Yeah, no, genuinely the dog scared the piss out of me.
Oh, another point that this movie gets an A for is no unnecessary sex scene.
Oh my god. Shut up, Zoomer.
No, that kind of like bothers me sometimes when there's movies that have like this weird unnecessary sex scene where it almost feels rapey, because that's like such a big thing during that era of movies, and even until like mid-2000s it was such a thing for some reason. This movie didn't have that. It's just like, hey, here's the Hulk and here's all his problems and stuff. Well, why do you keep touching my armpit?
Because you're presenting it.
Because he's in.
Well, I mean, we have to be this close.
Well, you see, in the 2008 movie, they critically acknowledge that his heart rate can't get too high, so no nut.
True.
You just gotta get locked in all the time.
So, bro's on a gooning streak for 18 years?
No, he's on an anti-gooning streak.
Oh, he's on an edging streak.
Maybe, but the edging might still be too excited. So he's just like been acorn.
No.
He's wearing a chastity.
You can get like not excited while edging.
I think he's wearing a chastity belt.
He's probably wearing like one of those sounding mixed with cage
chastity
belts.
Oh, speaking of sounding, there's definitely an Evangelion reference in this.
Yeah, there is. I told you. Because so they did the sideways elevator bullshit that's like in Evangelion, also in like The Dark Knight Rises. And they go into a military base underground, and they show you all the little tunnels and shit through, like, a stupid CGI blueprint. And it is such an Evangelion reference. Like, you can't tell me I'm wrong.
I'm just glad that it didn't have any other Evangelion references, like sexualized 14-year-olds or coming on a hospital bed.
How does this relate to other superhero movies? Where does it fall on the tier list?
Oh, like, what's its rating?
Like, at the time, I think probably just comparing it to other, like... pre-cinematic universe stuff would be easier. It's all
so what other superhero movies were out at the time? This is 2003.
Three, so Blade 1, maybe Blade 2.
And none of the Spider-Man, right?
Spider-Man 1. Maybe one. Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 2 is... 3 was in 2007.
X-Men?
So X-Men and probably X2.
Fantastic Four?
Not yet. That was 2005. That's the one that I put this next to in my brain, I think. Is like, it's enjoyable. It's got some pretty big problems, but like, I will not deny it. Like, if it's turned on, I'm not going to not watch it.
Because you're turned on.
That too.
So, like this...
If Chris Evans was walking by in a towel, like, what would you do? You would wish to be the towel.
The Superman to gay type pipeline is so strong with you.
Shut up.
So, on a scale of 1 to 7, this movie definitely gets, like, a 5 out of me for the time.
I had a lot of fun memeing on it, but it wasn't, like, a hateful memeing.
No, it was a fun movie.
Fun memeing.
It's just kind of silly.
Yeah.
But also, it's kind of self-serious, but, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
It's weird that that's a balance that it kind of handles.
I think it did that really well, because it's trying to be serious when it's meant to be serious, and then, like, the in-between, just like, yeah, it's a little goofy. And
he punched his balls.
Yeah, like, why not? So it doesn't take itself too seriously. It's just, like, when it needs to be, it will.
Yes.
Which
when the,
I like.
When the domestic abuse do be happening.
So, I don't think I ever heard much hate for this movie. It was always the 2008 one.
Really?
Yeah, I heard more about that one having hate, even though I still like that
one, quite like
too.
That.
Because the Hulk, when he's fighting, it's like he actually has mixed martial arts in it, because they established that in the beginning of that movie.
He punched real hard.
But, like, to not stray away too far... This movie's just good. I think so. It's good.
Yeah, I would say good. I would say... So if we have, like... In terms of this, like, era of movies, we have, like, Spider-Man 1 and 2, Blade 1 and 2... X-Men 1 and 2, like, big thumbs up. And then we have, like, the middle, like, kind of thumbs up. That'd be, like, this and, like, both Fantastic Four movies. Spider-Man 3. Ah, no, Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 3 is A-tier, sorry. Ghost Rider, the first one.
What's his face is in that
Daredevil.
One too?
Hey, yes, Sam Elliott is in that one. Yes. For Daredevil. And then we have, like, bottom tier, which is, like, Elektra, Blade Trinity.
Daredevil was actually pretty good.
Yes. Other than, yeah, the playground scene. We don't talk about the playground scene.
No.
Or the mustard.
No.
Yeah, and then we have, like, X3 is kind of in the middle, to be honest. Ah!
Spencer.
It's I. It's I.
We're straying away.
It's got some actual, like, artistry put into it, which is impressive for the time.
Start us off on the weeb shit.
Oh, yeah! Speaking of Evangelion memes.
Oh, fuck. What is up with you guys?
Oh, fuck!
We were excited for your return.
So you guys decided to do weeb shit.
Yes.
Wow. I haven't
decided to do weeb shit.
I have not.
I've been doing weeb shit for months, and I'm not stopping.
I didn't even plan.
And I've been trying to get you guys on this shit for, like, years.
I didn't even plan to. I just found myself there. I was like, oh, it'd be fun.
It is fun. Especially when you actually find cool shit and not, like, pedophilic shit.
So on that note, not pedophilia.
Oh.
I am being careful and treading lightly. So in my attempt to re-enter the world of... I have been.
So you're trying to enter your urethra with a sounding rod?
No, he just goes, Ree!
That I do. So I wanted to kind of reconnect with some of my roots.
He said Ree again.
Ree.
So, you know, there was this really, in like the mid to late 90s especially, there was this really popular, like, multimedia franchise that involved a bunch of little weird creatures that go inside of balls. Anybody? Anybody?
Creature that goes inside of balls?
Yes.
How do you shoot cum back into your balls?
Digimon.
No. I watched Pokemon Indigo League. So the first full season...
What does this have to do with balls?
Pokeballs, you nunts!
That's the only connection you have?
Yes!
You're lazy.
And? What else is your point? So I haven't watched this in a very long time.
What does this have to do with Beyblade?
Yeah, why is there no Beyblade talk here?
I kind of want to go back and watch Yu-Gi-Oh! To see if it's shit.
It is shit.
I've never seen it. I only know the memes.
Don't go to Yu-Gi-Oh! Go to Beyblade.
Okay. So, Pokemon. The original anime. It is an anime. It was produced in Japan.
I know.
It follows the... I'm just addressing the discourse, sweaty. Calm down. It does follow the structure of a Saturday...
Oh, that's stinky.
It does follow the structure of a Saturday morning cartoon, but it is still produced in the same style and in Japan. So it's an anime. Suck my nuts. So it's 52 episodes, I believe, is the first season. They aired... Shut up. They aired multiple episodes a week when the show was on the air, which I think is really cool. Shush! This came out before I was born, but I used to be really, really into it when I was younger. I used to have...
You shut up. You're interrupting him now.
Okay.
Shut. For the listeners at home that can't see us, they every time I am talking, they keep taking their index finger and their thumb and making it into a mouth and going, shut.
No, I'm doing this when you squeeze the bird beak.
Yeah, pinching the beak.
Shut.
Doesn't work. You'd be a penguin.
Yes. I'm gonna die. There's a tornado inside of me.
There's two wolves inside of me.
No, there's two Bulbasaurs inside of me making up a trench coat to make me. Okay? Okay? There's three Squirtles.
Raphael?
I knew this was gonna happen. I hate you.
Where is your Vaporeon?
Where's your vape?
My Vaporeon is in the car where she belongs. So
as Spencer was saying,
everybody knows what Pokemon is. I'm not gonna fucking explain it.
You explain to me? I don't know what Pokemon is.
Fucking hit your nuts. I wanted to revisit this because I was familiar with it when I was younger. I watched it a lot. I had like the VHS tapes that had all of the episodes. I tried to collect them. I'd go to like thrift stores and stuff. I played the card games. I played the video games. Whatever, the whole nine yards.
Fucking nerd.
Yeah. It comes and goes in phases, like me. But. with wanting to get into anime and, like, re-familiarizing myself with, like, the basic, like, genre tropes, you know, when they do the cutaway gags and the funny faces and stuff, like, just the basic, like, media literacy of the genre, I was like, oh, this is a good entry point, and I haven't seen this in forever, and I forgot how fucking good the animation is. It is on the cheap side, like all anime, but the level of hand-drawn and, like, texturedness of 90s anime, despite a lot of 90s anime being shit in the writing department, is something I really like, and something I don't like about a lot of modern anime is a lot of it's done digitally, which is fine, but it's shiny. It's so shiny. I don't like the shininess. I like when you draw the little figures on the painted background and then you start wiggling them around and it looks like shit.
On the fucking clear coat shit, and you have the acrylic paint. And
yeah, when
that.
It's clearly in, like, 480p. Yeah, like, I like
where,
that shit.
Where the reason why every single cartoon character had, like, some type of neck thing or, like, a collar or a something like that, because it was easier
to switch their heads. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, no, I really like that. I like plenty of modern anime, but this was like a... When I think anime in my brain, like, this is like the feel that I think. You know? Like, it's got a good texture to it. It's obviously bright and colorful and blah, 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 blah. But
so, like, you liked it?
Yes! It's genuinely, like, very high quality animation, especially for the time. It's more impressive than I remembered it being.
What happened in the story? Obviously, characters caught Pokemon... And then
characters caught Pokemon and then jerked off Team Rocket really hard until they blasted off again.
Yeah.
Rinse, repeat for 52 episodes.
It's just a fetch quest.
Pretty much. Towards the end, they do start having some more connecting threads that kind of lead into season two. I believe the first 5 or 6 episodes of season two were originally written to be the end of season one or whatever. There's some confusing.
That's when Brock left, right?
No. That's much later.
Really?
It's like season 3 or 4, I think.
Damn.
But yeah, so this is just the old school Gen 1 shit, you know. Almost all of these episodes, I am having, like, massive deja vu watching. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this shit. You know, the giant tentacruel, you know, all the shit. I can still do the poke rap a little bit. So.
How did you watch all these?
Netflix!
Wow.
Netflix.
That's incredible.
This is good koosh. It's mega comfort show, but, like...
Will you watch season 2?
Yeah, I actually want to go further. I think I've only made it up to, like, season 3, which is... Yeah, somewhere around when Brock left originally. And that's about as far as I got. That's also around, I think, Gen 3, which is when I stopped liking Pokemon that much, so...
How many seasons
what?
Are there
Gen
total?
3? Gen 3 is,
I said,
like...
around Gen 3.
Gen 3 is, like, the best one.
1, 2, and 3 are very good.
Yeah.
This anime is still going, Jacob.
Oh, manga.
As of yesterday, they finally let Ash, the 10-year-old, retire after 27 years or whatever.
Yeah, because he got younger looking as they kept going.
It was weird.
Yeah, he actually looks like a 10-year-old now.
Yeah, no, so basically every, like, 5 to 10 years, they kind of soft reboot the anime with a different animation style. Sometimes it's a different studio making it. They swap the characters around and whatever. But, like, I think most people think of the original, like, proper anime was around the first 3 generations. So,
yeah,
like,
where
5 or 6 years.
Ash had his original hat where it wasn't a Pokeball.
Yeah, the second hat is kind of when it fell off. L plus ratio. Then the first couple of, like, animated movies, which I might go back to because I remember those pretty fondly.
Those were always fucking good.
Them Mewtwo's with the fats.
Well, before we get onto the Mewtwo's, I, too, watched an old anime movie. I was hungry for, like, an Akira or a Ghost in the Shell looking old school anime movie or TV show, and I was kind of dubbing around the internets looking for something comparable, and I found Megazone 23 Part 1. It came out in 1985.
Damn, so that's older than you.
I know! By a lot! It's incredible. And it looked great! It had that old art style that I was looking for and enjoyed.
Pedophile.
Are you pedophiling right now?
No, I am not pedophiling right now. I never pedophile.
Mm.
Hey! Hey!
Hey, Bobby Boopy!
Hey! So this guy is a super cool biker dude, and all of a sudden... He's gifted a super cool bike, and he's like, holy shit, this thing's awesome. And he's ripping around town, and he's getting bitches. And then the corporation comes after him because it's actually their bike, and it's a super secret government project. And he's like, I ain't giving you back your super secret government project. I'm gonna hide it and keep it for myself. And it turns out that the super popular TV show is actually part of the Matrix, and it's brainwashing the public. And... the plot lost me after that. I don't know what happens, but the motorcycle is actually like a transformer, and it transforms into like this super nuclear powered weapon of mass destruction that destroys Godzilla's asshole or something.
Stop, Colin!
I heard Transformers, and then I heard trans, and then I kept looking at Spencer, and I went, trans, gick.
Stop! You're in my brain! Get out!
Bussy.
Stop! Does he do the Akira slide?
Well, duh, every anime does that.
I don't know if this was before. That's why I was
the
asking.
Akira slide.
That's not true. There's nothing before
the Akira slide.
Akira came about when the Big Bang happened, okay?
That's true. I saw something.
The Big Bang meaning me banging your mom.
I saw something do the Akira slide, but like it was just like a, it was like a person or a creature. It wasn't like a bike or a car. And
yeah.
It was just like, I cannot remember what it was. It might have been Sonic, to be honest.
This was 3 years before Akira. And so.
But the manga might have been out by then.
I don't know.
The manga didn't do any shit with that.
Oh my gosh.
So no Akira's lied.
It looked cool though.
0 out of 10.
I really like the animation. I really, really enjoy the old school anime look.
What is this called again?
Mega Zone 23.
Oh, no wonder I didn't pay attention to that title. What the fuck?
Yeah, it's generic as fuck.
So did you dub or did you sub?
There was only the sub version available.
Oh, he's cultured.
Oh! What else? There was something else. Oh, apparently this was a major influence for The Matrix somehow.
Wow.
Huh.
Because like the TV shows like The Matrix,
yes, exactly.
And stuff. Amazing.
Not surprised.
I had a lot of fun. I plan on watching part two eventually.
Nice.
How many talking points do we have today?
Two.
Okay, cool.
We just do two now.
Your turn.
I watched an anime from Netflix called Delicious in Dungeon.
Oh my gosh, I knew it!
I started watching that because I was organizing my room, and then it like, I was like, oh, I should probably actually make food because I don't eat.
It sucked you in, didn't it?
It did. It follows three characters. I can't remember their name, but they were a part of a party that were trying to defeat this dragon, and they failed because they barely ate anything, and one of the main characters got eaten by the dragon, who is the sister of another main character. They all got teleported out from by her because they're like, oh, we're going to die from this. And now the brother is on a quest with two of the remaining party members to rescue her from this dungeon. And they meet a dwarf who loves to cook. And they meet him because these party members are too broke to buy real food. So they started cooking up monsters. And he's like, oh, I know all about cooking monsters. I don't know anyone else loved this so much. And we also find out that our male main character has always dreamed of eating monsters and consuming them.
I love the fact that you are calling it by its like manga name and not the anime name. I think that's funny.
It's called Delicious in Dungeon.
It's Dungeon Meshi, my guy. It's officially titled Dungeon Meshi. What fucking Netflix are you on?
Netflix.
What the fuck?
Everyone's Netflix is different. It caters to you.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Oh! Shut up. Shut up, bitch.
I blame Mark
fucking
Zuckerberg.
Fucking eat my ass.
I blame Mark Zuckerberg.
Yep. It's called what on yours?
It's Dungeon Meshi. This is like a...
What the fuck?
You're so dumb.
I've never heard of it called that.
You're whatever.
What the fuck? Dungeon Meshi?
Yeah, it's... Whatever.
What?
It's one of the manga covers. It's wicked cute.
It looks like it was drawn by Jeff Laurent.
Let me see.
It does! He looks like a chunky boy.
Oh yeah, that does look like a Jeff Laurent's face.
Told you.
So they eat dragons and shit.
Just like monsters. Like they've been eating frogs and like these weird scorpion things and then these mollusks and various things. Eventually, they do kill the dragon. And they're trying to search the innards for his sister, and they find her skull. And that's where the first season ends, where they find her skull and her staff, because she's a magic lady. But they get a lot of stuff to eat, I guess, because of the dragon. It is massive. It's a red dragon.
When did this come out?
I don't know.
I think it was like 2 years ago, tops. It's pretty recent.
Really?
Okay.
Two?
I think.
No, this year.
Well.
Damn.
Came out this year.
Basically 2 years ago.
True. Yeah.
By the time that this is going to be uploaded.
Shut the fuck up.
It's good. I liked it a lot. I wanted more. And now I have to wait 5 years. Because that's how anime works.
Scott the Waz reference.
Spencer, what else you got, bitch?
So I watched another anime. Pretty soon, I'm going to be cracking open some mangas. And we're going to talk about them. But...
You're going to get into Berserk again?
Again.
You've only read one book out of 14.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Prove it, though.
Continue.
I will be in the near future.
Right now.
No. I watched Kotaro Lives Alone. It was in...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was released...
You're a fucking bitch.
Yep. Well, it's listening. It's an adaptation, like pretty much any anime, it's an adaptation of a manga. You think we get a lot of comic book movies in the States, you go to Japan. That was really
I would love to, but you yelled at me. Made my pee-pee small.
Dude, I'm just gonna, if you move to Japan, I'm just gonna move into your house.
Yeah, this is gonna be our house.
Yeah, that's true. We'll make sure everything's fine when you come back, but like, we're gonna keep the bed warm and stuff.
You get to sleep in the basement.
In the middle of our house.
So this
What's
was
that from?
I don't know. Old song. I think it's the middle of our street, but I like singing it wrong.
No, I think it's house.
I don't think so.
So this was released like 2 years ago on Netflix. There's 10 episodes. Like I said, it's an adaptation of a manga, which has yet to be translated into English. As soon as it is, I want to buy it because it looks very, very good. The art style is a pretty direct translation of the manga.
I know.
He's always right. It's about a boy who's like 5. His name is Kotaro, and he, say it with me, class,
eats dragons.
Lives alone.
Oh!
Ah!
That was close.
So he's like, he's precocious, so he's like very mature for his age or whatever. So he is very,
So he's traumatized.
Yes! Yeah, so he like walks over to his neighbors, he's like, I will buy them Kleenexes, so they'll like me. And then he buys people tissues, and then he walks around, he's like, hello, sir, would you like some tissues? If in emergency you need help, please feel free to ring me. I am down the hall.
So is the reason why you love this anime is because it reminds you of you?
Oh, yes.
This is very much you, Coden.
Yeah. Dude,
you are this little boy.
Dude, wait.
Did this little boy like Superman?
No. But he does speak and follow the life of Tono Saman, who is a fictional superhero in this world. Well, he's more like a samurai. But
oh
like,
my fuck.
Dude, you need,
this is literally Spencer.
Dude, you need to watch it! It's so good!
This is literally Spencer's life in a nutshell.
Yeah, I know. I also used to eat tissues because I was poor. It's a whole thing.
You did?
No! But
before
he does.
Before or after they were used?
Good question. No, that's part of like the thing is because like it's actually a pretty known thing. Like you can eat tissues, and a lot of like malnourished kids eat tissues because it's like the only thing. Like you need something going on in there.
Well, this is suddenly dark.
And that's the point of the show. Is it starts off very light. And it's like, why is this quirky white boy? Sorry, he's definitely Japanese. Yeah, so like, but he looks like a white boy. You know how it is. So it's just like, why is this quirky white boy on my doorstep holding a fake sword and giving me tissues? What the fuck's up with this? And so all of the different neighbors in the apartment complex basically just start co-parenting him because he's like, I do not need anyone. I am smart and I can go shopping by myself and blah, 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 blah. Like, he's not even in school yet. He's that young. So there's a few different characters. The primary, I would say, protagonist or like POV character for the show is, I don't remember his name. He's a manga artist that lives next door and he's like a 30-year-old schlub. And he's like the audience POV. He basically takes point on, you know, being on daddy duty. So he like brings him to the bathhouse every day and they just like hang out and stuff and they go shopping and whatever. Cause they're all like, why the fuck is this kid alone? This is weird. And the kid's like, I don't need company. But it turns out he actually does. He's just really fucking traumatized. And most of the second half of the season is just kind of figuring out why, what the hell's going on. He has money. That's suspicious. Where does the money come from?
Drugs.
You know, you'd think. There is a Yakuza member who lives downstairs, and he very much so uses Kotaro as like his son because he does have a son who he doesn't get along with. So he's like very over the top in an anime way of like, come here, I'm gonna give you a hug, and Kotaro's like, how about no? Meaning he baps him with a sword a lot. It's really cute. It's just really nice. Like, it has a strong through line. It's still formulated like a slice of life anime because I believe every episode, which is about 20 minutes, includes two basically disconnected segments. There are some ongoing plot threads, like finding out what happened to his family, neighbors moving in and out of the building and the like him starting up going to school. There's a whole couple episodes about him making different bento boxes to bring to school because the other kids are like, I made this with my mom. And then he's like, well, this one's shit. And then he's going to go to like, because you can make them at gas stations there, which is insane. So he's like going to the gas station. He's like, hello, friend over there. Just this random person walking down the aisle. Like, would you like to help me make bento box? It's very bizarre, but it's really cute. The animation's a little cheap, to be fair.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's not low quality, but the in terms of like frames and stuff.
Oh, that's not Spencer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Shish, I know it's me.
You fucking punchy, you punchy little boy.
Yeah, there was an episode where he got really fat. That was pretty rough because he, as like I said, there's a lot of trauma stuff going on. So it's a lot of one episode he gets fat and everyone's like, "What's going on, buddy?" And he's like, "I don't know what you're talking about," because like food scarcity mindset of like, well, if there's food, I need to eat it because I don't know when I'm gonna have food again. So he just goes through a lot of like adult trauma problems and then a lot of I need friends and whatever. It's really cute. The animation, like I said, is cheap, but it's good. The color palette is really nice. The voice acting is really good. There's one character who's completely deadpan, and I don't know if that is for like intentional reasons or if that's just really bad performance. It's funny. Most of the jokes land. It's, I believe, TV-14, so it's might be TV-PG, but I don't think so. It's not like it's violent or very crude or anything, but it is definitely dealing with some heavier topics from time to time. It's just really nice to like throw on while like eating dinner, especially if, you know, if you're being a white boy and like eating sushi or whatever. Watch it. It's good. I want to read the manga when it comes to England.
How did you watch this?
Netflix.
Are there more seasons?
Nope. That's it. That's it. The manga was short. The show is short. It's 10 episodes, so it's like 200. It's like 3 hours, maybe. I don't know. It's incredible. Cute. It's good. You should watch it. I watch both dub and sub because I'm special. I would alternate like each episode, just flipping back and forth to see how they work. Because it's a low budget, but still produced by Netflix. So like they had the money to get a good dub, and both the dub and sub are pretty good. It's a slice of life. Like come on, like I can. It's not like I'm watching.
What?
Slice of life. I'm stupid.
Slice of life.
Slice.
Bro's fucking retarded.
Yeah. Well, you know.
You wouldn't give him a zin, so it's your fault. He's
I needed the last
minute. I need my nicotine. You should watch it. It's cute.
I watched Paprika.
What?
Which is a 2006 movie.
That's a spice.
That's pedophile.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
That is that. It's got fairies in it.
Oh, pedophile. You've seen it?
I just then have to look at
shut
it.
Shut up. There is a device created by an evil pharmaceutical company.
It's a sounding rod.
Bro needs a cork. Spencer, shut the fuck up.
6.5 hours later.
So for the listeners at home, Spencer is walking around the house trying not to laugh, and he's just stomping on the floor.
My tummy hurts.
And he keeps saying his tummy hurts. Now he's in the kitchen in the dark, trying not to throw up in the sink. He's hyperventilating as we speak right now.
Alright, so Paprika. There's an evil medical corporation that has created a device that lets you not only see other people's dreams, but record them and edit them. So it's supposed to be like a therapist's tool to stop a recurring nightmare or something. But the device is stolen and is used for ill will. This movie is very trippy as fucking balls and stuff. There's a lot of dream sequences, and the animation does a really good job at not making any sense because it's a dream world.
I'm gonna start crying.
I actually hurt like right here by the shoulder blade, and it was like going through to my chest.
Why?
It made me stop laughing because it hurt so bad.
My my diaphragm is very in pain right now.
So he'll say diaphragm, but he calls his stomach his tummy.
I do not.
You just said, my tummy hurts.
I was doing the bit. Jeez.
It's a diaphragm.
Yeah, okay.
Diaphragm, idiot. There's a G in it.
Diaphragm. Jacob, shut the fuck up. No, we're gonna get like a monotone Spencer during happy hour. You're gonna shit yourself.
Shut up, I actually have to shit. Shut up, I actually have to shit.
I also have to shit.
I actually don't have anything more to say about the plot. It's just really trippy. Weird. There's a lot of dreams, and there's a lot of intrigue of like, who has the device and how are they going to catch the guy with the device. There was weird anime humor in it. There's a really fat guy that eats like a whole table food of food, and it's disgusting, and it's supposed to be funny, but it's not. It's just really gross.
Table food of food.
That's what I'm picking up too. Table food of food.
Table of food. Just plates on plates on plates on plates. And he's like,
that's not food, that's just plates.
Bomber?
Bumpkin.
No.
What? Trombone.
Bomber.
Sounding.
I enjoyed this. I gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
Wow.
It's weird. I don't really like the animation style. It's got that weird, I think it's 3D animation that you bitch about all the time.
Oh, the 3D where they paint over.
I think. I don't know. I didn't like it.
Let me see.
But it adds to the trippiness, so it wasn't the most painful thing ever because the whole movie's trippy as fuck. So it's allowed to look weird and bad probably because it's weird dream sequences.
Do they find the guy with the device when it's all said and done?
I think so. I don't know. It was cool. It passes the vibe check.
Does it pass the back?
Oh, yeah, that's a wicked horny scene.
Ooh.
He reaches inside of her.
Ooh.
And then rips her skin off.
Oh.
And reveals who she actually is.
That's his mom.
That's not what you're saying it is. That's literally all drawn. That's all hand-drawn.
It changes looks as it goes.
It's gay as fuck.
Watch it and get back to me next week.
I will.
You have homework. What else have you done?
I will not be getting back to you next week about it. I finally read The Nice House on the Lake.
Yeah, buddy!
Yes! I've been waiting for this for 6 months now.
So, The Nice House on the Lake is...
Burke's got notes!
Holy shit.
He hasn't had
notes in like a year.
It's a psycho horror mystery following a group of friends who, shortly after starting their vacation, found out their mutual friend is an unknowable entity who's burned the world and locked them in a test bubble.
Yeah.
That is the best description I can give without, like, spoilers.
Dude is sussy.
This is the only horror comic I've ever read that's actually interesting.
That was a lot of snow.
Yeah. This is the only horror comic I've ever read that's actually, like, interesting and trying to do something different. So they always say, they always, like, the friend group. Excuse me. There's, like, 10 of them. And they, after getting all this knowledge of, like, what's really happening, what's the purpose of them being on this vacation, they say he's an alien. But like, he's like, yeah, I guess you can call me alien if that's the best thing that you can call me.
He's a homosexual.
He's like a weird, uncanny valley, body morphing, organ spilling thing.
He's got glasses. It's gotta be my favorite gender.
Yeah, he looks like Wesley.
And he is a homosexual.
Yes, my brother is. Oh, how do I go about this?
The doctor lady's hot.
The doctor lady is so fucking hot. She reminds me of Big Barda.
I was really mad when she died.
Me too.
Because it was such a dumb death.
It was a dumb death. I knew that was going to happen. So, this story also has like a, I don't even know if I want to talk about that because my opinion might be socially not...
Spill it, I can cut it.
Okay, so, like, I feel like the main, one of the main characters is trans, And I feel like that's a great portrayal of trans identity in a comic or like anything I've really read or watched, because it how it's drawn, how it's written, and how I perceive it in the way that's drawn and written is that like their trans identity is so connected to the point of trauma where they originally find out that their friend is like this unknowable entity, like this trying to connect their own identity and like sexuality with this character and their connection to always being super protective of them, of their relationships and stuff like that. It's got this like, I'm trying to break out of what you expect me to be, because this unknowable entity sees their friends, chooses their friends because they see one quality in them that they find to be really good and what they're searching for this test bubble, and they're trying to make them solely that, like that's their identity. And the thing about this trans character is that she is so complex, and it's good with teaching that like it's a, that humans are a complex thing, and that they're not just one thing. They're not just this person. They're not just the artist or the doctor or the philosopher. You can be multiple things. And this book actually really helped me with, and I think it can help a lot of people with dealing with friends, because I have this thing where I see someone like my friends and I see a quality about them that I really like and I think is really good, and I want them to expand on that. It teaches you that you need to not be an asshole. You should know this, but you know, your parents are also just like grown up teenagers, so they have a hard time even learning shit themselves. So like, how the fuck are you supposed to learn how to be a proper human being? It taught me that you need to let people be people, mind your own business, and love them for who they are, even if you disagree with them, and to not put them into like basically ultimatums. Because yeah, it's not
don't
like
put them in the big sin bin and be like, okay, stay here or die.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to say that like you're actively like that as a person or that I am. It's just I know for a fact that some of these problems that like I saw in the book, like I saw myself in the book through these problems. I'm not saying that's something that like actively I am, but it's something that you definitely as a human being can find yourself acting like because of your social, like your surroundings, like the way that you grew up and the people that you were forced to be surrounded by because they're like your family.
But what did you think of the title cards where the lake was rising?
The lake was rising? Oh, I didn't even notice that the lake was slowly rising.
Every issue, it gets higher and higher and higher.
I didn't even realize that. No, I just love the title cards. I'm like, oh, this art's so fucking good.
And the covers are so spoopy.
Yeah.
Spoopier than anything in the book, but yeah, they're still so good.
Yeah, I also like how it connected, like... So this book wants the part two. And you get to see the part two in the beginning of part one. Where it's like our main characters, the main characters that we focus on each issue, do like a dialogue dump in like the first two pages or whatever of them later on. And then it cuts to their perspective of what's in the now.
So you're probably wondering how I got into this situation.
Not yeah, like it, that. It's that, but like actually works. And it's just like, it's talking about the situation, and you just get to see visually where they are now, and they talk about what did happen, or like in a not 1-2-3 segment. It's just more of like an abstract, I guess. This book is fantastic. After I finished the two trades that Jacob let me borrow, I bought the hardcover. Because it's the only full collective uh-huh. edition right now. Uh-huh. It's not even unwrapped right now, I don't think.
Whoa.
Fantastic fucking book.
He's been pondering this orb for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's stuck with me. It's still with me. I think about it often.
It's like, so rare that we actually agree on things.
So like, I use this... Sometimes I use my memory of this book to, like, decide like which multiple question answer to pick when I'm talking to human beings. Because when I talk to people,
it's a dialogue wheel from Mass Effect.
This is the autism speaking. When I talk to people, I know that there are words that I could say exactly to get my way or exactly to be like in their graces, but I actively choose whatever the ones that like I want to say rather than the ones I know that they'll like.
Do I choose the this is what I see. Option or do I choose the fuck you word?
Right, and I always choose the fuck you word.
I know.
But I see the multiple question thing. That's just how my brain works, and like I use this book.
Joke's on you, the fuck you word is actually the romance option.
No, that's the fuck me.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's what I've been doing wrong.
Right. This book is a 7 out of 7. There is no complaints whatsoever fucking ever. Like nothing.
I had one complaint.
What's that?
It ended.
Pretty much. It didn't end. It's just part one.
Yeah. Part two is not available yet.
It's gonna take a fucking long time.
Yes.
That's fine. This book is so good. Man, I don't know.
James Tiny Onion the Fourth.
Meaty Tiny Onion.
I also feel like I'm not trying to be conservative, because I'm not. I'm hella gay for a straight man. But I feel like they actually used the gay characters, lesbian characters, trans characters in a impactful way. Like they're actually human beings and not just like
token characters.
Is the right word I'm looking for virtue seeking?
Not
or virtue
really
signaling?
Signaling. Yes.
Sure, I guess.
It's just
Tynan's gay.
I know that. It doesn't just use them as like characters to be like, hey, look, we're front. We're allies.
We included the gay couple.
Yeah. And it's actually real people. Like, yeah. They talk like real fucking people.
Yeah.
Intelligent. And the comedian guy, I like him, too, because he just uses comedy as a way of, like...
coping.
Yeah, coping or, like, protecting himself. But he's actually, like, super fucking smart, and he thinks outside the box.
This guy's got to read the good Deadpool books.
Yeah.
What are those again?
Good question.
Thank you.
I'm working on it.
Yep. Such a good book.
It's so good.
If I just keep talking, I'm going to ramble. So that's
meme and
cream. That's where it's got to end.
That's the end of the show.
Holy
We're so
shit.
Glad to have Colin back after he finally finished his book. Go to his Patreon. It'll be linked in the description. Give him money. Speaking of money, we got two people giving us money. It's Caitlin and Jeff Lawrence. They went to our Patreon and gave us money. If you would like to give us money, go to patreon.com/dimecomicbros. Give us money. We give our money to Jetpack Comics and Games in downtown Rochester, New Hampshire. They take all of our money that we earn from this show and even a little bit extra.
They take my money.
Yep, for sure.
You can also buy comics. You can also buy Colin's comic over at Jetpack Comics.
That's true.
In their IRL real life actual store. It's on the shelf.
We have a Substack that provides pictures of the things we're talking about, just in case you don't understand how words work. Look at the words, try to sound them out, and look at the pretty pictures included. Subscribe at Substack. Next week is the news, maybe, or something. We don't know. Tune in then. Oh, yeah, Darth Vader, black, white, and red.
That's next week?
Unless we do Diamond Gaming Bros instead. Tune in and find out.
Like this while I'm gone? I can't tell if I'm like I'm genuinely getting him or if it's like if he's on his last straw for laughing about something.
I don't even know if it was you or me.
I don't know, maybe it was a mix of like you farting and then me saying Brody's a cool.
Oh, my tummy hurts.
My tummy hurts. He says my tummy hurts. What a little boy, dude. Oh, my tummy.
God damn it!
Bro, if you keep laughing, you're gonna get abs. I'm just gonna...